Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Paint. I'm Jonathan Taylor with
Sean McCool.
Sean, we got another random flight today of all sorts of things. We're going to talk about packaging. We're going to talk about magic words that sell.
Magic words, yeah.
Magic words. Not magic beans, magic words.
Yep. We've got a really cool research tool that we'll talking about.
Oh, I love this one.
And I've got an email that could double your new subscriber open rate, not just from when they subscribe, but like going forward so that your list is much healthier for much longer. And it's one simple email.
Simple email.
Yeah.
There's a magic word right there. You stole my platform, man.
Simple.
One simple email. Yeah, use the simple. Come on.
Oh, man. I didn't even know it. I should write copy.
You should. What do you do again?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk some beverages before we get into that.
All right.
Said on the last episode, I think I've got something very similar to what you had on the previous episode.
Yep.
So I've got another Texas local brewery. It's right up the road north. So the last one was just west of us. This one's up the road north of us. It's Whitestone Brewery out of Cedar Park, Texas, which is kind of north of Austin. And this one is called Melted Snowman.
Ooh, Melted Snowman.
This is a winter warmer ale with cinnamon and nutmeg. So there's no, what'd you have here in yours? Like apple butter or something in the last show?
Fig paste.
Yeah, that just does not sound great, but.
I should have used a different term. Not fig paste. Fig spread, fig jelly, jam, I don't know.
Hint of fig, anything, but fig paste. That's weird. In full disclosure, I've had this one because I met somebody for beer the other night and I grabbed this six pack on the way. So I have had it. Mm-hmm. I do know it is good, but I didn't get to share it here. But yeah, it's Whitestone Melted Snowman. It's about a 7.5 ale. So it's not super dark. It's more of a, still pretty dark, but I drank it out of the can before. So it's still pretty dark.
That's really dark.
I mean, it's dark in my office. Let me see if I turn up the...
It's dark everywhere now, so it won't have the same effect.
Yeah. So what do you have on your end?
Well, I have... it's not really a... I wouldn't call it a...
Did you put that banner up on the screen there? Live viewer? Where is that coming from? I
don't know. Does somebody else... Do we have a producer
we don't
know about? A ghost producer?
Got a ghost duck.
Who's in our show? Somebody is logging in and taking over.
Wait, where's it?
I thought you put that up.
No. That is weird. I guess they're just saying, we're going to advertise this on your podcast.
Okay.
Oh, there it goes.
There it goes. All right.
That was weird.
I was able to click that away, but I know for a fact that I did not click that thing to come up.
Yeah, that's weird.
Somebody did that.
That is crazy.
Ghost in the machine. All right.
Yep.
So I have a good old classic, nothing out of the ordinary, but this is one of my favorite seasonal from Sam Adams. So I got to bring it on the show, and I got to give Mr. Sam Adams some pub here.
Yeah.
I like their Oktoberfest. Their Oktoberfest is good. I used to think that was probably their best seasonal in my opinion, but I believe they have outdone themselves with the winter lager.
Really?
I think this year's winter lager, I don't know what they've done, but they have outdone themselves.
Wow. And that's a good one for our listeners because you should be able to find that anywhere.
It's good. Yes. Yeah. You can find this now. Yep.
Well, it's like, it's that Brooklyn brewery that I had a couple weeks ago, the Christmas Stout. Yep. It's nationwide. You can find it. So it's, sometimes, it's nice to find a semi-craft that you can find anywhere.
Well, I don't know. Something's different about this year's winter lager. I don't know. I know they.
It's definitely a different label.
It's not. Yeah, it's got the gold label this year, which obviously that's changed a little bit. But
yeah.
I haven't been. You know, I'm not a fan of the. I don't know. There's a few of their other. Goodness, I think it's their winter white. Is it their white lager or something? White? No, it's their winter white ale or something like that. They have. I don't like that at all. But I used to think Oktoberfest was like their best one until last week. I picked up one of the winter lagers and I thought, you know, I'm going to pick up some cause I have company coming over, but man, this is really good. This is actually, to me, it's better. And I know I'm already giving it away cause I haven't done the taste yet, but I've already had this one. So,
well, I just looked it up on Beer Advocate and it says for the first time in 31 years, we're updating the classic winter lager recipe to make it crisper and brighter.
So see, I didn't know that.
It's the same iconic beer with a wintry remix, crisp Bock with citrus and spices, lager brewed with orange peel, cinnamon and ginger.
Okay.
So there you go. It is new.
Okay. I didn't even know that, but I knew something was different. Not just the label. You can't fool me with just labels, okay? All right, Sam Adams, yes. You can't fool me with labels. There's something different.
We are connoisseurs. Probably the ginger.
Or the ginger.
Seems like the ginger would be new. So, well, we're drinking a similar beer then, because I've got cinnamon and nutmeg. You've got some, yours more lager, mine's ale.
Yes.
But that's similar. So, all right, well, cheers.
Cheers. Don't you love that feeling when you know what you're about to take in, what you're about to sip is like primo.
Yeah, we should do that the rest of the year. We just go back to our favorites for the kind of yes. the end of the year wrap up type thing. Instead of trying to find a new beer every week. I tell you, after 3 years, that is not easy to find a new beer each week.
No, consider how many beers that we've reviewed over the last.
We've only had a couple repeats. So it's, and we've since I left Knoxville, it's been two because we shared the beers originally.
Yep.
So now we're getting two per episode, which is pretty crazy. So, all right, well, let's jump into it. I know it's Friday night and you've got a club to go to or something.
We're trying to give our ratings, man.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to get you to the club. I know you got.
I'm not going to the club. Yes.
Nobody cares. It's fine. You can say so.
Yes, I'm going to the club. Not the 20 club. Not the 20-year-old demographic club. I'll have another glass of Chardonnay club.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the one. No, I mean, I'm going to tell you. I already knew before I even opened this tonight. I knew what I was going to give this. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to hold back, buddy. Here it comes.
I see your hand reaching for the for the sound effect.
5-0 for Mr. Sam Adams.
Very nice.
It's amazing. I love this. So smooth. So and what Sean just read, I didn't know they had tweaked it a little. I knew there was something different, but I didn't know to what extent. But those changes have made this one a 5-0 in my book. So
very nice.
So well,
I cannot beat that. I cannot beat that. I'm gonna have to go grab some this weekend. I'll give this a 3.9. I mean, I almost want to give it like a 3.99. Like it's right under a 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the nice thing is it is more drinkable than like a stout because it's as an ale you could have three of these and you know not be sick to your stomach. So. Yeah. So yeah, I'll give it a 3.9.
That's solid.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's good. That's a good score. 5-0 and 3.9. And again, you can find here's the nice thing about having a this particular 5-0 Sam Adams is that you can find this at your local,
Kroger, grocery store, whatever,
gas station.
Whatever grocery chain. Yeah.
I mean, I know. It's solid.
Albertsons, HEB, Publix.
That's right.
King stores. I'm trying to think of all the grocery stores I know of, but I don't know what they have in California. Rob Us.
Who cares?
Or something.
Rob Us. So some people may not have caught that. I caught it. My
antennas. As long as somebody laughs, I'm good.
All right, here we go.
You've heard me talk about sand.
Dang it. Man. I got to relabel my buttons. Okay.
Yes. Man, all right. It's tough.
My laugh track is not on the same, place that it normally is. I got to change some things around there. So anyway.
All right. Well, who wants to go first on our flight of persuasion? I want to hear about your magic words. So you go first.
Okay. All right. So, magic words. So I was going through my book on, this week, Bob Bly, who we've had on the show before.
Yes.
Some of the big book of words that sell. And like to all of our listeners, if you're in copywriting for sure, like Sean is, I'm sure Sean's got a copy of this, or he better. I don't see it.
But I do have words that sell and more words that sell, volume 1 and 2.
Right.
But that particular book I don't, but I'm sure they're very similar.
Well, it's a good reference. If you're writing copy, I completely recommend having this book, 1,200 words and phrases that every salesperson and marketer should use.
Those are really helpful, because I find myself, especially like when you're editing, like I tend to use the same words and phrases over and over.
Yep.
Like my transition phrases and some of my adjectives and adverbs, I'll get stuck using the same ones, which in your first writing pass is fine.
Right.
But where a book like that comes in handy is like when you're editing and you start to notice that every other sentence starts with and or but or whatever. You're like, ooh, I need some new phrases there. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorites that you pulled out as you were perusing?
Well, in my industry, obviously, and I'll just relate this to what I have to do, because you're always trying to create a perception of superior value in your industry. So even if you feel like you're in a commoditized type industry, you're selling, you know, commodity materials, you can find ways to separate yourself. Think about it. You know, in my industries and composites, where a lot of chemicals, raw materials are being sold, you've got to find a way to use words that separate yourself from the pack. If you're buying aspirin, you know, or if you're buying some kind of, pain reliever type medication over the counter, you know, you'll go to the drugstore and you'll see, you know, Tylenol, aspirin, you know,
Advil, Motrin,
every single one. And you're trying to think, all right, where do I even start? What do I do? And so you're reading the labels and they're all using, you know, fast, pain-free, effective, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of these labels are being used. Ultimately, you know, it comes down to so much of the time, it comes down to what we're familiar with and what we know best and what we've been used to for all of our lives. But I found it helpful, like some of the chapters, like I said, on creating, you know, perceived value is to have a list of phrases. The formula is to get a book that you can have kind of on your, you know, on your desk or on your shelf that you can kind of, it's a reference tool. Always have a reference tool, whether it's, you know, we talk about swipe files, copy that we've used in the past. Well, sometimes it's just good to have a good reference of words. And there are several books, but Bly's been in the industry so long. So I use, and I'll give you some examples on perceived value. Certified certificate of authenticity.
So they love to use that in the used car world, like certified pre-owned, right?
Yeah,
certified is a
Yeah, when you hear certified, it just gives, automatically it gives credence. All right, distinctive, deluxe. You know, what's great about this, he goes through, A through Z, endurance, enriched, experience, essential.
Yeah, what about, so when you said certified, handcrafted is nice.
You know, in certain industries, they love, like in the marine, like in certain markets of composites, like marine manufacturing, you talk about, you know, handcrafted. Whereas, you know, some people use kind of these automated spray systems that spray the fiberglass into the mold. You know, there's some of these small, you know, marine or boat manufacturers that still do it the old fashioned way, where they, you know, they take the poly or the vinyl ester resin, they run it into these sheets of fiberglass cloth and they lay it into the mold. So there's no, absolutely no difference in terms of the durability and strength between the two.
Right.
It's a great marketing tool though. I mean, cause you say handcrafted boat and they, you know, they live up to that. And, you know, ultimately, you know, people love that, you know, they love that in the marketing, handcrafted. Oh, wow. You know,
I should start saying that about my copy.
Handcrafted copy.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, it's an attractive word that we latch onto whenever we see that handcrafted.
Well, I think it's a throwback to simpler times. Or maybe I think it implies a level of care, a level of focus and attention to detail is what that really, that's handcrafted has a lot of words underneath it. And I think attention to detail, pride, a lot of those things are what's under there. And that's kind of the phrase for those things.
Yep.
So when you said certified, I also thought verified.
Yep.
And you were talking about medicine. I know a lot of vitamins now, supplements, and I've seen this on TV, especially for like the grocery store brand type supplements. They're USP verified or whatever the organization is, you know, verified by whatever, which is similar to certified.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it still gives you the same.
Yes, that extra layer of trust that somebody took the time to look at this product and, quote, verify it or certify it.
Yep. Premium. There's another word, premium. Pure, premium, priceless, performance, outperforms, superior, state of the art. You know, state of the art is another one. So some of these just kind of automatically draw your attention, state of the art. And you're usually using something like that, you know, when you're selling kind of high-end luxury type products, state of the art automobiles.
Or new and edgy, you can say state of the art. And what's interesting is like, if you're just listening to these words, they sound like stuff you've heard before, because they are words you've heard before. But if you go through your marketing materials and your sales conversations and you start dropping some of these words in strategically, they add a ton of weight.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was on a call Tuesday night, helping some people with their pitch decks for an investment thing they were doing. It's being another guy, we're helping them out. And this is the number one thing that we gave feedback on. It was like, no, you gotta spice up some of this stuff you're saying in these different areas and put in terms like premium, put in terms like handcrafted, state of the art, whatever it might be, because it makes a difference. Like your brain can't tune this stuff out once it's said.
Yeah. Well, here's a phrase, while you sleep, right? I mean, how often is that? Lose weight while you sleep, make money while you sleep. The whole idea of accomplishing something while you're sleeping, you know, we were talking before the show, Sean, you sleep, you like to sleep 8 hours.
Yeah.
I look forward to sleeping 8 hours. And, but either way, you know, the fact that you're accomplishing something while you're, you know, laying in bed.
Well, it's a much softer way to say while doing nothing.
Exactly.
Right. Cause if you say,
no one wants to be labeled as being lazy, right?
I mean, right. Like, you don't want to be make money while doing nothing. Like, I mean, that's what we all actually want.
Right. Right.
But we feel guilty about that. Mm-hmm. Where if it's while you sleep, it's like, well, you got to sleep. So if I happen to make money while I sleep, I guess that's okay.
Sure.
Like it definitely feels like there's not as much guilt around it.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're not necessarily everybody, like you said, everybody has to sleep. So, you know, no one's going to fault you for sleeping, and the fact that you're accomplishing something while you're doing that.
Yeah. Burn fat, make money.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep. So I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do recommend in terms of going through this book this week, there's this book that you should, if you don't have it, it's called The Big Book of Words That Sell by Bob Lye, famous copywriter. He's actually been on our show before. It's been a couple of years, I think, but you should always go back. If you don't have it, it's a great reference tool. You should keep it on your shelf or on your desk. And what I love about it is that it's, you know, by category, you know, it kind of breaks everything down, you know, by chapter on, you know, words that, you know, like I said, you want for, you know, separate or display perceived value. Right. It's got other, you know, sections, but everything is basically word. Like it's got a proof of effectiveness. You know, you've got a whole list of words in a chapter on, you know, proof of effectiveness, battle tested, depend, field proven, demonstrated to, blah, blah, blah. It just, these are things that just get you kind of are there to kind of spur you on or kind of ignite the whole thinking. You know, if you're trying to write something, you're thinking the right words to use, boom, there
it is. These are great to drop into subject, email subject lines, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
All right.
Good stuff. I'm going to move on to a research tool. So if we run long or run short on time, then
no, we're good.
I think this would be a good value here. So I found that, or I heard somebody talk about this tool and I went and checked it out. You know how we always say you want to enter the conversation going on in people's heads, right? Yeah. Whatever's going on in their minds already. So there are, you know, there's sites like Quora where you can see, you can kind of filter through what people are asking and, and kind of get an idea of that kind of stuff. But this tool is called answerthepublic.com. And I'm going to share my screen. And I'll try to walk people through it for those listening. All right. So you seeing my screen there, Jonathan?
Yes.
All right. So this is called answerthepublic.com. This is really cool. You could put any topic in here. It says discover what people are asking about. So give me a topic, Jonathan.
Let's say, okay, we're coming up on Christmas. Let's say Christmas trees.
Right. So you hit search. And this is going to bring up all kinds of stuff that people are asking in a cool chart about Christmas trees. So what this does is it breaks down by what, where, who, why, will, when, which, can, how, are those types of questions. So everything so cool. You can imagine, like, are Christmas trees poisonous to rabbits? Are Christmas trees evergreen? Are Christmas trees sustainable? Are Christmas trees pagan? Are Christmas trees toxic to cats? Are Christmas trees bad for the environment? So, and then you go to the other side, like, why Christmas trees aren't perfect? Why Christmas trees are not perfect? Why Christmas trees at Christmas? Why Christmas trees are pagan? Will Christmas trees be available this year? Will Christmas trees grow in clay soil? Like, just stuff that you would never sit down and just write out questions for. Which Christmas trees don't drop needles? You know, that's a great one. And you can even see, if you were looking at this picture, the darker green is the most asked question. Then it goes around to the lighter green. So which Christmas trees smell the best? That's a great question to write a blog post or an email or something like that around, if you were in the business of selling Christmas trees or anything. If you were selling Christmas tree lights online, then you want a bunch of articles about Christmas trees, right? Because then you could have ads there about Christmas tree lights. But it doesn't stop there. It's got prepositions for Christmas. And this is the free version, which you can only do like two or three searches a day, I think. Compared to the pro, but you can see there's stuff like, so these are questions or statements that people are typing into Google that are using prepositions. So for, can, with, near, to, is, without, you know, you remember the old, kind of the song, Jonathan, with prepositions above, aboard, about, be above, beyond, below. Like, you remember having to memorize like the 40 plus prepositions? I remember like the first five, then I'm like, I don't know. Christmas trees for garden, Christmas trees for bedrooms, Christmas trees for outside, Christmas trees for small spaces. like all kinds of stuff that people are looking at.
Oh, man, this is like a marketer's paradise right here. I mean, some of the stuff you can pull from this.
And then here's one that's called comparison. So it's Christmas trees versus Christmas trees like, mm-hmm. Christmas trees or things like that. So the versus is kind of cool. Artificial Christmas trees versus real. Mm-hmm. Real Christmas trees versus fake. Christmas trees Lowe's versus Home Depot.
Yep.
So you can see like this is stuff that you just wouldn't think about unless you had a tool like this.
Right.
But I mean, you can just pull out and then here's the Christmas trees alphabetically, like some of the search terms. So it's kind of like a keyword search term, but it's in a much, mm-hmm. I think much more organized format.
Sure.
And you can actually just download a spreadsheet with all this stuff on it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, up in the right hand corner says download CSV.
Yeah. CSV, which is, mm-hmm. you know, basically a Excel spreadsheet or whatever. So let's see if I can get two searches out of this. I intentionally did not practice today so that I would have the full number of free searches. But let's do one for your business, Jonathan. Okay. What would be something that people would ask about your business?
Let's see. How about, how strong is carbon fiber?
So let's just do carbon fiber. This is actually one where less is more.
Yeah.
Only want one or two words per subject. Oh, carbon. That would bring up some interest. All right. So carbon fiber. Mm-hmm. Now, some of this is not going to pertain to your business, but let's see if we come out with some stuff that is like, you know.
Yeah.
Something that you could write about, do podcast episodes mm-hmm. about. So why carbon fiber? Mm. Why carbon fiber is expensive? Why carbon fiber is strong? Carbon fiber wallet, used in cars, used on cars. Will carbon fiber conduct electricity? Will it stop a bullet? Will it burn? Will it melt? Will it crack?
Yep.
Will it bond to plastic? Will mm-hmm. it get cheaper? So these are all questions people are asking. Probably a lot of people in your industry already know these answers.
Sure.
But you could certainly start to see like, you know, what are people searching for? Right. How carbon fiber is made? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's, you know, all kinds of just data you can get here. Let me see if I can get one more search in. So I'll put in something for me. I'll put in life coach. Done this before and see if it makes me do pro at this point. So you only get two searches a day. Free, and then you have to upgrade to pro. Yep. So,
I know our friend David is using this in his business, which is obviously the mortgage, mortgage business, you know, paying off your home in a short amount of time. And so, it's a great tool. In fact, he kind of turned me on to this a few weeks ago. I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, just,
yeah, so it's just a new and I think better, cleaner way to do mm-hmm. a keyword search.
Yep.
Much prettier, easier to kind of follow. Mm-hmm. But if you're if you create content as part of your marketing strategy,
yeah,
this is a gold mine.
It is.
It is. Just the blog titles are right there for you. People mm-hmm. are already searching. These are what people are already searching. So that's, you know, like I said at the top, this is the conversation already going on in people's heads. This is literally what they're searching for in Google. Mm-hmm. And even if you didn't write anything, but you did your ad campaigns based on these questions and you did Google ads for your product just based on these questions,
right?
You know, you're going to have be showing up right there where you need to show up.
We should have done inflation, man. I bet that's like going out the roof.
Oh, probably so. Yeah.
I would love to see all the things being entered on inflation lately. That would be funny, but no, I think it's great. I mean, you basically, it's like you said, Sean, you're entering the conversation that's always already taking place. And this is a great tool. If you're writing copy, if you're writing, you know, if you're doing podcast, you know, if you're doing podcast episodes, title your podcast around, you know, some of these things that people are already talking about, right? You know,
yep.
If you want some traction in the search engines, that's what you should do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you'd have no shortage of content. You do a little bit of research around each one of those questions, and boom, you're going to be answering exactly what people want to know about. Yep. All right, so what else you got on your side?
Real quick, I got one thing, and I want to get into your, because I think I know where you're going on your Apple Card thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that coming up, which they do an amazing job of, by the way, but I'm going to let you handle that one. I got this idea because, you know, I've gone to a few trade shows over the last month. You typically, in my industry, September and October are the big trade shows. And there's a lot of things. And I think in most industries, I think September and October, a lot of trade shows are going on in so many different sectors. But right. In my industry specifically, and I collect a lot of business cards.
Yeah.
And talk about lame, lame. Man, they're all just lame. Nothing, you know, here's the one thing that hasn't changed in the last 50 years, probably longer than that, is the business card. It's so lame. Everybody, when somebody hands you a business card, it is the same, and it's the format hasn't changed. So here's the thing, and I just wanted to give you an example of one of the business cards that I do, just to give you a highlight on some things that you should maybe do to separate yourself. I'm not saying business cards are the ultimate marketing tool. They're not, but I think if you're at trade shows, you need to have something. If you don't have a mini book, like we were showing on our last episode, if you don't have a mini book to give out to people, and if you have nothing but a business card, make it count. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to hold this up, but this is one for our podcast. And dang it, I got to hold this thing up. I should have screenshot this thing and highlighted it. Okay, here's the front. It's one of my podcasts, Cass Polymer Radio. But here's the flip side. First of all, and I'd had these done at Vistaprint. Mm-hmm. And I selected intentionally these heavy cardstock. These feel like cardboard, like the old, it's kind of like the old trading cards, like the old baseball cards and football cards that we used to collect when we were kids. That stock, you know, they're really solid. So you don't feel like you're going to bend it, when you turn it around. But I use it as an opportunity. I think everybody should. And I think everybody that's listens to our podcast that's a copywriter probably understands the whole concept of this is using the backside of your card.
I'll also note for those not watching, you printed this vertical too.
Yes. A little different.
Portrait mode instead of landscape mode.
Exactly. On purpose.
And it looks like the front of the card looks like a website.
It does.
Like it's got a header. It's got a big hero type image. And then it's got your name. Your name is not the focus.
Nope.
The actual Cass Polymer Radio with a podcast mic, that's the focus. That's what would be interesting. Nobody cares about Jonathan Taylor yet.
That's right.
Right? But if they see information about, you know, what they're into on a podcast, which in your niche is pretty rare.
Pretty rare, yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, this is interesting.
And when I hand these business cards to them, I like to hand them with this side showing, not the front, but the back side.
The tech side.
Because I want them to know that Cass Polymer Radio in bold font, the headline, now has over 32,000 unique podcast downloads and growing, right?
Yeah.
Because if they're a potential sponsor of the show, I want them to understand the value. And basically, I'll read this out to you because it's hard to see on the screen and plus for our audio listeners. So on the back side, I have in bold font, which I think everybody, if you have a blank space on the back of your business card, total wasted space. Yeah. So on the back I have, and again, as Sean said, it's not horizontal, it's vertical, because you can write better copy when it's vertical like that. But you can have, so in my case, I have a headline, Cass Polymer Radio now has over 32,000 unique podcast downloads and growing. And then under like the subheadline, put your company's advertising message in front of a growing audience. So I've already identified what that growing audience means numerically. And then I put some quick bullet points. Did you know 32% of Americans listen to podcasts monthly? 55% have purchased a product after hearing it discussed or advertised on a podcast. And then lastly, 64% say they have visited an organization's website after hearing about it on a podcast. And then I put the question, interested in becoming a sponsor?
There you go.
Just email me. Boom.
I like it.
So, you know,
that's a lot of information on a business card compared to what most people put on there.
Most people just lousy. I actually, you know, what I do is I collect all these business cards, these lousy, stinking business cards from trade shows. And I have this big stack. I'll come away from a trade show with about that thick, like a Sears Roebuck catalog thick, full of business cards. And then I'll wrap them with an old rubber band, and then I'll throw them in a drawer and I'll never see them again, you know, because they're all crap, you know.
Yeah.
This one is not crap. This is good. This is solid. I mean, this is like, this stands out, you know.
Our Gen Z listeners are like, what is a Sears Roebuck catalog? I don't know what is that?
Turn off the show. It's not for you. You don't know. You don't understand. Okay.
Yeah. Get off my podcast.
All right. So I'm going to segue. This is packaging. This is packaging your business card.
I like it.
And I'm going to segue into Sean's packaging, what Apple does.
So we know, like everybody that listens to this show on a regular basis knows we like Apple products. We buy a lot of Apple products. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for an Apple card, their credit card. Mm-hmm. And the whole experience was completely different from any other credit card that you get, right? So first of all, when you apply, I think you use your Apple ID.
Yep.
So what happens is the moment you get approved, it shows up in your Apple wallet on your iPhone.
Yes.
You know, and you can immediately start using it. You could go out to the store that night and use it before you get your card. Mm-hmm. And then they say your titanium card is on the way.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you'll have a physical card.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, just from a user experience, is every step of the way, you're getting little notifications from your Apple wallet that it's out for, you know, that it's on the way, that it's out for delivery, expect it today, that kind of stuff. And then when you get it, it comes in a FedEx package.
Oh yeah.
And I know some like high-end cards, like the American Express Black Card, and some cards do this, but this is not what I would consider a high-end card. It's a pretty standard credit card. So it's much more in line with like a Capital One card or anything else, right? Mm-hmm. But even so, they give you the experience that it's high end, right?
Exactly.
So they send it at FedEx in a FedEx envelope, whereas most credit cards, you know, it's like, we'll send you a card in 3 to 7 days, and it comes in like a plain white envelope. You're not sure if that's junk mail or not.
Right. Sometimes it may end up in the round file, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're like, for those 3 to 7 days, you're like opening everything because you're like, oh, I don't want to throw the card away, right? But you're not sure what's what and all that kind of stuff. Well, this comes in a FedEx envelope. You open up the FedEx, and then this is inside. It's a brown, plain brown, heavy stock cardboard package.
Absolutely.
And you rip open the package, and then inside of it is exactly what you would expect from Apple, is this beautiful white.
Yeah. With the logo on the front.
And this heavy cardstock package. And inside,
look at that,
is your card. And what's cool is I could show you this because there's no number on the card. That's part of their security feature.
Absolutely.
There's actually no number on the card.
Yep.
But then here's what's cool. You don't have to call an 800 number. You don't have to do anything like that. All you do is you hold your phone up to this. It says, hold iPhone here to activate card. And boom, in like 2 seconds, it reads the card and it activates your card. And so the whole experience, like from start to finish, was just like, and then it's a real like, it's like,
yeah, and it's not a plastic card either. It is
it's titanium. Yeah, it's a titanium card.
Titanium. It doesn't just say titanium and it's a cheap piece of plastic. It's actually real titanium.
Yeah, it's like
if you dropped
real metal,
you would cut your toe off.
Yes. So it's like, usually that's reserved for like I said, American Express black cards whatever, you know, like high end.
Yep.
But in true Apple fashion, they decide. Mm-hmm. So when you get it, like you kind of feel kind of cool and like, oh, well, this is a cool card to keep in my wallet, you know?
Yeah.
And
you feel exclusive. For sure. Yeah.
And you don't feel like, it's just another card throw in my wallet or whatever. Different. It does feel different. So doesn't mean I'll use it any more or less than the others, I don't think.
No.
I mean, they do have some cool features on it as far as like daily cash back and that kind of stuff. But
I only use mine when I buy from them. But I've reserved the card for only when I make purchases through them. Because usually once a year I'm making a decent size purchase from Apple, you know, whether it's an iMac or a MacBook or a new phone or a blah, 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 or a blah, 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 or a new an Apple car that's coming out in the next 3 years that will be driving me around as I sell to customers and write copy, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, you know, hey.
So right, yeah, it's writing the next book or two, right?
There you go. So yeah, it's a good experience, and that's what they're so good at is after the purchase, you don't have any buyer's remorse because the way you experience the product is so high end.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you mentioned off air before we started, you got a new Mac, desktop Mac, and you mentioned the first thing you said was, it was just seamless. I just turned it on and like everything was there.
Yep.
Yeah. All your old stuff was there. Like, I mean, obviously you back up to the cloud and that kind of stuff, but still it's like you just pick up right where you left off with the previous one, you know, and that's that kind of experience. So that's, how can you do that for your customers? How can you make, cause there's always buyer's remorse.
Right.
And if you get, you know, you buy whatever and it comes and it's just not, it's like, okay, well, that's what I expected. But when it's more than you expect, then it gets talked about.
Because
you feel good about it. You feel smart. Like all kinds of stuff happens.
And they have a habit. I think Apple has a unique or a great habit. Maybe it's not, it shouldn't be unique, but they have a great habit of over delivering, under promising and over delivering. And I noticed this in the shipping where they told me my iMac when I first ordered it. Due to obviously supply chain problems are causing, you know, slowdowns for everything. But when I first ordered it, it looked like it was like a 3 to 4 week lead time. And so I ended up getting it in half that time. I think it was originally a 4 week, ended up getting it in 2 weeks. So I was without my iMac for 2 weeks, but I was pleasantly surprised when it shows up 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Right. And they're just good about doing that. They're always going to under promise and, you know, over deliver every time. That's their motto. It's like, we're going to try. We don't know if we will, but then it's like, it totally exceeds your expectations. So, you know, that helps you.
And that's easy to apply for any business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me cover one more thing and then we'll wrap with that. But, so I signed up. I don't know how I got it. You've bought, and I think we've even featured Legends of Copy, the swipe file.
Oh, yeah.
Guy, Matt over at Legendary Copy or something. I can't remember the exact name. Right. And so saw an ad for his, clicked on it, and they're doing their big Black Friday sale. But when I got onto their email list, you may remember this, Jonathan, when you got on their list.
Yeah.
He delivered what he promised first. So that's a good step.
Yep.
But then the next email was, hey, I want to make sure you got what I promised. Mm-hmm. I always like to keep my promises. And two, I want to know what you thought about it. Please hit reply.
Yeah.
I read every email, hit reply and let me know that you got everything and everything was okay. And when you do, I'm going to give you an extra gift. Ooh. Right. So what's the reason for this? One, it's just nice and it's over-delivering like we just talked about. But the bigger thing is, if you reply to an email, especially on a brand new list, the email provider sees that as more of a relationship instead of a marketing email.
Right, yeah.
So now you're going to go into the regular tab if you're on Gmail or anything else, and it's your promotions are much less likely to go to promotions folders because you replied back.
Right.
So that can increase your, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but it will substantially increase your open rates from that point forward.
Sure.
If, you know, if 30, 40, 50% of your people, you can get them to reply. And they're most likely to reply when they're brand new to your list.
Yeah.
Not 6 weeks from now, right? The first couple emails are going to have the highest open rate anyway. So if you can then get them to reply and offer them bonus for doing so, then it makes your list much more active, higher open rates across the board, which means more money, you know, when you're sending out promotions. So it doesn't matter really what it is. I think it's cool the way he did that. And he gave an extra bonus.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's a, so he did basically three things. One, he asked, he wanted to make sure that you got the previous email and everything was downloaded. Okay. Then he asked for a reply.
Right.
And then he gave you another bonus if you would go ahead and reply.
Yeah.
Right. So, not asking just for his own good. He said, okay, not only if you reply, I'm going to give you something extra. So, and because I'm not sure I would have replied if it was just for reply.
Yeah, right.
Because I know what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
But when he says, I'll give you this extra little file, this extra little swipe file, this extra little thing, I'm like, that's worth a reply. So I just hit reply and I was like, yep, got it. You know, and he even says in email, you can just say yes. He said, you can just enter a number, just hit reply and enter a number if you want to. I don't care.
Easy.
So I thought that was a really good idea. And I think it's a good way to get new customers and for their ISP to see you in a positive light. Sure. And that could be worth a lot of money if you add that to your to your onboarding sequence.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what did you enter? Did you enter?
I said a little bit more. I said yes and got it or something like that.
Okay.
So, because I know, I mean, I know what he's doing. He's a fellow copywriter. So like, I appreciate it. But I think a lot of companies would do well in their opt-in series to make that their second email. And when I write some opt-in series, that's, I try to do that. But I don't always do a good job of like having a second bonus to encourage the opt-in, you know?
Right.
I've tried in the past to do it a little bit, just be friendly, like tell us why you signed up or something like that.
Sure.
That's kind of a lot, you know, now that I think about it, it's a lot of work for somebody to do.
Yeah. I mean, what's so the incentive? They're like, you know, well, I don't know. It's just too much to think about and I'm not going to do it because there's no incentive, but
right.
Like you said, this is an incentive to them. And I don't know what the value of that, you know, extra swipe file was for you, but it, you know, it's perceived value at first before you see it, you know, you're thinking, this could be something that would benefit.
You know, it needs to be something people want.
Sure.
And sounds a little bit sexy and interesting and all that. Right. And does them has a benefit for them. So basically if you take any one of your, you know, you could take one of your lead magnets or one of your upsells or one of your order bumps and then add that to your opt-in sequence as a freebie for replying, you know, then, you know, once they reply and, you know, you could, in most email services now, you could set that up, even though he says, I read these personally. So I don't know if he personally replied or if it's a, you know, an action in the email software that triggers it just when you hit reply. A tag of some kind. I'm not sure, but my guess is you can automate it either way.
Sure.
So I think that's good, probably what
I think it's a great idea. You know, I know Bob Lye for years has done, you know, every time you order something from him, like any digital product, like ebook or anything like that, which I've done several times through him, you know, he's just, he doesn't do the, you know, reply or anything like that, but he just automatically throws in a bonus report you know, onto your order. And I think it's, you know, even that alone, I think is a great idea because it, I think it lessens buyer's remorse, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like you're throwing value on top of value. You know, you're, you feel like you're already getting something and then you buy something and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, by the way, I'm giving you, here's your extra bonus. Like,
oh, I didn't know I was getting a bonus. Imagine, you know, so if you take both of these ideas of, you know, over delivering like Fly or Apple Card and then requesting the reply to increase deliverability, I mean, that, that's all worth a lot of money over the life cycle of a customer. So,
no doubt.
Well, that's all I got.
Good stuff. Another great show.
Yeah.
So next week is Thanksgiving. Obviously we're probably, so I'll talk to you, Sean. We might do an episode. I don't know if you're going to be traveling next week. We might do an episode on a Tuesday instead of a Friday, maybe Tuesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll talk to you about that. Maybe do an early episode before the holidays. Maybe do something in regards to Black Friday. I think that would be fun, wouldn't it? Black Friday and Black Friday marketing. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, you can find us on all of your podcast channels, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, you name it. Do a quick search, persuasionbythepint.com. You can email us over at persuasionbythepint@gmail.com if you have questions. And we always welcome your comments. Sean, it's been fun. See you guys next time.
See ya.